December 1st, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic, Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wahfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomiradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talk that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we have a couple of announcements. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulih al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. We are asking everyone in the radio listening audience to make a dua, a prayer, for our beloved brother Imam Abdul Kabir Shamsuddin passed away. We ask Allah to forgive him his faults and his sins and grant him a high place in paradise. Also, our beloved brother Hazik Muhammad. We are also asking you to make a prayer for him. May Allah forgive him his faults and his sins and grant him paradise. Imam, Brother Imam Abdul Kabir Shamsuddin Janaza is Thursday, 11 a.m., Smith Funeral Home, 455 North Broad Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey, 07208. Before we get started this evening, I want to thank Imam Imam Abui, our technician, for holding it down for me during the Thanksgiving weekend. And we are opening up this topic, the Ramadan session. Topic, man and the universe as mates created for each other, its timeless relevancy. Lecturer, Imam W.D. Muhammad. So we inherit the spirit for human community. So our government, France and other Western governments that have that as an adhesive holding their ideology together, those governments have come to the Qibla of the Muslim. This is exactly what we believe. And I'm sure that they had the good intelligence and the heart and the nature, those who put together the idea for us, for generations to come. I'm sure they also understood that this applies also to the collective body of the people. It's more important as a possession of the human community than it is possession of the human individual. So what we inherit in the community spirit, the spirit for community, we are not just inheriting properties that are to be established as the properties of individual human life. No, we are inheriting an urge, a spirit, a direction in our life stream, our life flow that will connect us with others who have the same, and the purpose of it is for us to form a social community, a community of people. And that is why God says in the Quran, highly glorified is he, that the creatures that go about on this earth, they have communities like yours. It's in the Quran, and you have to read it in many of you. You have read it, many of you. That is to tell us that it is not only a description of human life, This is the description of life, period. You don't have to stretch your imagination too much to agree with those who say that even plant life exists in community. Grass wants to be with grass. It so happens that way. Trees with trees. That is the forest, isn't it? So community life, if you don't have the right kibla and your life hasn't been interrupted and confused by the world that rejects the real kibla or is ignorant of the real kibla, you will be unconscious in your own nature. It will be unconscious in your own makeup to come to that idea of that belief, that recognition that I am human. I should mate with other humans. If blacks is not human, and you are black and human, shouldn't mate with the non-human. No. Human is first, not Africa, not Europe, not white or black or yellow or red. The accident model is the pure human type. The human is first. That is your valuable property, that you are human. That is your sacred property, that you are human. It would is better that you are human and keep your own identity with your people. But if all of your people turn to another kibla that makes them wild and crazy, filthy and unhuman, then you leave all of your people and you become white, yellow, red, or anything else rather than to give up your humanity. So you see, this is where we should be when we are reading the Quran and reading about Muhammad's excellent model. So the excellent model is not an Arab. The excellent model is the pure human type that God wants in every human walking the earth. If God had awakened him in his Arab identity and fastened him to his Arab identity, he never would have been known. He would have gotten nowhere. But God didn't wake him up in his Arab identity. God woke him up in his human identity. And God gives us a sign, a kibla, that identifies us with our original nature, our original life, our original human pattern that God planned for all people. Distortion began to come from the PA system. I didn't know this great wisdom could do all of that. Mr. Farad said, when the time comes, you are going to hear sirens. Praise be to Allah. It used to bother me, but it doesn't anymore because I know Allah is with us. And whatever happened, God says, come willingly or unwillingly. The system just couldn't take it anymore. So when managing our life becomes too troublesome for us, and aren't we there right now when it comes to the public life? It is too troublesome for us. We can't handle it. We can't turn them around. We can't speak to them, and they respect what we are saying. So what happened? We who want to keep the valuable human life, we turn to the supernatural. For those who are already in religion like Christians and Jews, we turn to the strength of our religion. For Muslims, it is the same. So we turn to the strength of our religion. But sometimes right direction is so confused even in our religion, we say, I just can't find any help. I've been reading this Bible, and I can't find any help. Now, this might surprise you. I've been reading this Quran, and I just can't find help. I have heard it. So we turn to the supernatural by some name, and sometimes by no name. Well, I don't know what his name is. I know that there's a God, but I just can't be comfortable anymore with what I've been following. So if you remain sincere, God comes to you. So you go on your own, right? You go on your own still believing in the supernatural. that means something that is not subjected to the fate that we are subjected to or that natural life is subjected to. Something that does not get sick, something that does not get confused, something that does not get wearied or something like that, or break down when difficulty comes. So we turn to something that we say is the supernatural. I know there is a cause behind all of this. I know there is something that brought all of this world about and something that caused me to be here, etc. So we turn to our own imagination and to your own concern, and you say, I just can't follow what I've been given before. It ain't helping. And if you remain sincere, God comes to you. Oh, yeah, God comes to you. You might ask, God comes to us too, not just the prophet? Yes, just hold on. The people of the book have been told, and I put this in quotes, no one has ascended into heaven except him who has already in heaven. So that is the Bible. Now understand that. No one has ascended into heaven except he who was in heaven already. So this was left with the people of the book also. They were given a picture of Adam or an idea or concept of Adam, that first human being, as the forebearer of all humanity. So the first human being, the beginning of humanity on the earth, he wasn't born of man's flesh. Adam was created. He is important for the student, pardon me, it is important for the student, my students, to comprehend what is given in the Quran regarding the necessary steps that to have to be to take in to establish one's life in the context of community or of community life. So the natural progression for our spirit, our soul, and our human content that God created begins with having a desire inside of ourselves to establish ourselves spiritually. But we don't think of those terms. Actually, the desire is to establish our soul, but we don't think in those terms. We just know that we need to make something better inside of us. Our spirit and thinking, when managing our life, becomes too troublesome for us, we turn to the supernatural. Even if we keep the religion, we still turn to the supernatural. So you are turning to him on your own. You don't have the preacher telling you how to turn to it, though you go to church. You don't have the synagogue or the imam of the masjid telling you how to deal with it, with this thing. You go to the masjid. It has become a private affair. You want to work this out between you and your Lord. Yes. So the one who created me shall guide me. When the mighty Pharaoh was trying to break the spirit of the prophet who was defying him, he warned the prophet that I could cut you loose now. And if I banish you or cut you loose, what are you going to do? How are you going to make it in life? The prophet said to Pharaoh, the one who created me will guide me. Do you notice how he put that? The one who created me will guide me. What is that saying? I will be guided through my own human creation. There's that Qibla again. I will be guided through my own creation. That is what he was telling Pharaoh. The one who created me shall guide me. He didn't say God with him. Pharaoh didn't say, are you talking about that one who is standing by you there? No, there was nobody around, nobody but him talking to Pharaoh. But he knew that he didn't get his creation on his own, and that he or no other human being could design his creation and make it come into existence. So he was saying that whoever, whatever gave me this marvelous creation, left enough guidance in my own human creation for me to follow, to make it on my own. Pharaoh, I don't need you. Yes. So we have established ourselves in our own soul. So you have to be able to stand up in your own soul. If you can't face your soul without falling down, then you need to get help. And there is help in the Quran and in the life of Muhammad, the model of human excellence for all of us. So Muhammad the prophet, when he was called by Allah to be the last prophet, he was seeking Allah. He was seeking answers. He was troubled by the confusion of the world at that time and the condition of the people, burdened his heart. So he sought Allah. He went to find the supernatural. He had already lived a lifetime amongst you, the life Allah established Muhammad in. He did not lose his original creation that Allah gave for the first time, the Adam nature, the original man. He was still in that original nature. He had not come out of it, and he was 40 years old. Prophet had not made acquaintances with scripture of any religion, now, nor was he a member of any faith. He was noble, honorable, beloved, trustworthy, and truthful. In the history of the Arabs, this was established, and we still have this history, and thereafter be upright. So Muhammad was asked by some young fellow, tell me something nobody else can tell me. Well, I get that attitude sometimes from some of you. You see, that is an attitude. You are so special, you know so much. Tell me something no one else can tell me. Like, what I heard so far, I can get it from around the corner. So I know where I can get that. I know some place to go and get that. So I need you to tell me something that nobody else can tell me. Prophet surprised him. He gave him a real plain and simple reply. He said, say, I have believed, and thereafter be upright, you crooked snake, you. He said, say, I have believed. Here, he's connecting belief, faith, with uprightness, didn't he? So what is the real faith? The real faith is the faith that is established upon uprightness, or that blossoms upon uprightness. He said, cool, say, I'm mad to. I have accepted faith. I have believed. And thereafter, thumma sadiqin, be upright. Look at the word estaqim. It gives the suggestion to the mind that this standing up straight from the Arabic word qama, meaning to stand, but also the word for people, qawm, is connected too with standing up, straight, erect. I don't think it is an accident that one of the names given to the progressive life we call human life in science is homo erectus. The human in the erect posture, standing up straight, he said, say, I have believed, and thereafter be upright. Now, he pondered to this wise guy. Pardon me. He responded to this wise guy, this smart guy. I'm sorry, the language, you know, in America. I almost said what I didn't want to say. He responded to the smart guy, but he also responded to the wise, intelligent, and civil-minded people, too. You see, the prophet didn't waste anything. If he had an occasion being put on the spot to say something, he didn't just speak to that little small thing there. He spoke also to the big picture. while speaking to the small-minded. He spoke also to the big picture. So in the big picture, he's saying, be upright in your nature. Have faith and be upright in your nature. Have the uprightness that God gave the first human type, Adam. Be the best you can be in your human makeup. Follow the excellence of your human life, not weaknesses, and that will shame you. Who do you say I, the Son of Man, am? So this original type Adam was given to the people of the book, and they know that Jesus Christ was established upon that reality. Jesus Christ is reported to have said to Peter, who do you say I, the Son of Am, the Son of Man am? He didn't say to Peter, who do you say I am? Like we would do. We are not wise like the prophet. He said, who do you say I, the Son of Man, am? What Jesus did was limit. He put a limit on what Peter should come back with, because he already told Peter, now, Peter, before you start talking, I'm telling you, now that I am the Son of Man, I am the original man after the original type. And he was not born of flesh, created him Adam, upon the prophet be peace. And Peter gave what established Christianity. He gave Jesus too much. He gave more than what Jesus wanted from him. If you doubt that, look at what Jesus Christ said to him. He said, before the rooster crows three times, you will have betrayed me. That's what he said to Peter. Before the rooster crows three times, you will have already betrayed me, because you already betrayed me with your answer to my question. And it wasn't an answer that was easily established. The Christian leadership went into confusion, and it took them a few centuries to come out of it after the passing of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. So if we understand it, the original design and human spirit that comes from God's command, cum fayakum, be and it is, that is the original soul of every human person. If Adam is our ancestor, that means I come from Adam. And if I came from Adam, that means he is in me. My immediate parent, Elijah Muhammad, who was called Elijah Poole at birth, and Clara Muhammad, who was called Clara Evans at birth. My life flashes wise, my life flesh wise, and in other ways too, that are very important, came from Elijah and Clara Muhammad. And you expect for the person that you come from to be in you. Because if you didn't, you would not be saying, who does I favor? You would be a little concerned. Oh, I think he looks a little like his father. And another one would say, oh, he looks more like his mother to me. And another one would say, really, he doesn't look like either one of them. And that is what someone said to Prophet Muhammad. He was worried. He said, I have children and some of them don't look like me. But he also raised animals. So this person who had the problem, so the prophet said, do you notice some of your animals that come from the parent? They don't look like the parent. He said, yes. And the prophet left him right there. Peace be on the prophet, a very kind and merciful, loving human person. The prophet, Muhammad, the student of Allah. So they said he never looked at anyone harshly. He would not frown, and they said he would never stare at a person like some of us do. He was a very special human creation. The best, so Allah chose Muhammad, didn't he, to be the last prophet, his servant and messenger. Allah chose Muhammad, and he was established in his original nature, but was he established in his soul? No. His soul was bothering him. His soul was not comfortable with the life that he was in and how the people were living. He was not comfortable that he was not comfortable with authority. He was not comfortable with the system and with the way of life. So he was not comfortable with a lot of things, and the proof that he was not established in his own soul, as God said, now we are going to turn you to a Qibla that will please you. His soul was disturbed. And when Allah says of Muhammad that God is going to not only inspire him, God is also going to teach him. How many of us think of Muhammad the prophet as a student of Allah? So God says he is going to teach Muhammad. So this is what we say in Quran. And then he also says in other parts that he taught him. But isn't that what he said of Adam, the first man? The original human type that Muhammad had kept in his own makeup and had not lost it? Adam is Muhammad. Adam is Muhammad unchanged, still in his perfect form that God created when he first made, when the first man was created in heaven or in the garden. So Muhammad was Adam. Yes, Muhammad was Adam, and that's why it is said of Jesus that he is the second Adam. Jesus Christ was Adam too. Jesus Christ was born amongst animals. Do you all recall the nativity scene and a little baby amongst animals? That means that Jesus was born amongst idolaters, amongst pagan people, but they didn't change his nature, the original nature that God gave the first human being. Adam was left unchanged, unspoiled. Likewise for Muhammad the prophet. And the prophet said, there will come a time when you will see Jesus Christ and Muhammad together in the important meaning. So important concept that he is the original type and Jesus Christ was the original type. Adam in the beginning of humanity was the original type made by God in heaven, in paradise. So in the month of Ramadan, while reading the Quran with hopes of completing it by the end of this blessed month, we would do well if we remember the thought, remember that though Muhammad, the word of Allah reaches us in the form of the generous Quran, it came to him first. He had to speak it or express it to us. And he earned that because he kept his original life and made it intact. He did not lose it to the world of idolatry and ignorance. Then Allah says that he inspired Muhammad himself, and he guided Muhammad himself, and God taught Muhammad himself. So it is God himself who cautions you. Then God says that he inspires whomsoever he pleases and gives of his spirit to whomsoever he pleases. And he says that he gave Muhammad to us to do what? To purify us, to lead us to purity, and to teach us the book and the wisdom. Then Allah says it is Allah who teaches you all. Ya yukulumu lahu. Ya yu'alikumu lahu, that is to all of us, that is not to one. God teaches us. Muhammad is gone. How is God teaching us? His words is alive. And his word inspires you. His words wake you up in your soul and wake you up in your intelligence. And his word teaches you. His word educates you. What does the Bible say of Jesus? I have to go away, but I will be with you always, not as the flesh, but as the Word of God. So the Word of God will be with you always, and it will give you life if you are dead. It will inspire you, and it will guide you, and it will teach you. Praise be to Allah. Allah also says, Yahadduhuru kamul lahu nasihum. Yahadduhuru kamul lahu nasihum. It is God himself who cautions you. We underestimate the power, the value, and the beauty of God's word. The average one of us, we do not come near to understanding or seeing what the Quran is in our life. Prophet Muhammad, on him be the prayers and the peace. He said, no prophet after me. These are his words. We don't need a prophet. The way Allah established the word to Muhammad, the prophet, the Quran, don't need a prophet. Oh, you say, well, if we don't need a prophet, what about an imam? No, you don't need an imam. You should be your own imam. That doesn't mean that all of you are supposed to go out now and don't go back to the masjid. I say you don't need an imam if you will stand upright in your own nature. You will follow the imam still because you're that is the community life. And that community life is all of our good and our good future. So we know that. So you know, if every man that came to the masjid would stop and think and say, wait a minute. Am I going to hear so-and-so? Is he more intelligent than me? No. Does he show by his behavior and his life that he understands the religion better than me? No. But I'm going to join the brothers in prayer. I'm going to join the congregation. I'm going to join the masjid. I am going to the masjid and pray behind that imam. So if all of us would just really look at the person we are praying behind and see if he is better qualified than we are as a human being on this earth, there would be nobody praying behind the man. A very few. Some of the imams would have to go out of the streets and pull somebody in from the drug addict and wine head. And that is what they used to do. Go out fishing for nothing but people in the ghetto, the black bottom of the ghetto. Get them with mud in their eyes. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, get them with mud in their eyes. Get them from so deep in the mud, you can't see anything but mud in their eyes. It's nice of a human being to care about the people like that, but it isn't nice for the community to go looking for people like that. Your community has to get up first. Then you can set up a drug rehab place. You can set up some institutions to take care of those fish. But you should be looking for some intelligent people who can make a contribution to the community. So these are the ones you're supposed to be fishing in. And then you will be fishing in men. Jesus Christ said what? Follow me, and become fishermen of men. So what were they fishing for out there in the water? It was not men, obviously, from what Jesus Christ said. They weren't establishing their human nature in the excellent way that Allah wants us established. They were uncivilized, or they were so ignorant that they were not living their real life, human life. So, you know, once you see the light and know the reality, then you can put it in your own language. You have to put it in your own language, Mr. Faraz said. you must learn the terminology. And he said, you will not be able to speak well until you put your mathematical theology in the proper term. That's what Mr. Farad said. Mr. Farad said this, what we gave us, pardon me, what he gave us, canon, health, experience, etc., prepare some of us in a very marvelous way to be able to now study the Quran and the life of the Muhammad, the prophet, and put it in our common language. It is all about what? Ummah, community. And we are called the best community. One of the students of Arabic brought it to my attention. He said, Brother Imam, you said in the Quran, Allah says you are the best community. No, it is not you are the best community. Kuntum, you were the best community. I told him, yes, now that you have corrected me, I remember it is kuntum. You were the best community. Well, I guess that was, I guess that has many purposes. One is that the prophet knew because he said, my community is going to go into darkness and it is going to rise upon the same type of people then it began, that it began on, the poor. That is one of his sayings that they have. Peace be upon him. But I see something else, too. When God says, Kuntum, you were the scholars and students and scholarly students, he wants to understand this. You were the best community. It is speaking to a time when the community will lose its quality and won't be the best community. Yes, perhaps. But how about connecting it with Adam, who was before all of us, before Muhammad, before the Ummah, Adam. And that community was in Adam's human design. So Adam is a person and a type. Adam was not just a person. Adam is a type. And he is a plural figure as well as a singular figure in Genesis. I was reading the Bible and it caught my attention that here is a report on the genesis of man coming first in Genesis, and it seemed that his creation had already been done. And then here comes Genesis again with a new star saying that the man was alone and God did not want him to be alone. So God caused the rain to come down from the heavens and wet the ground, and then he formed the man of the ground. Now, here is a man who was lonesome, a man that needed woman. Where was his body? I can understand if he didn't have a body, no woman was going to be there. So then he caused the rain to come down from the heavens and wet the earth. And after the earth was wet, it must have been dry and dusty. It must have been too loose to hold together. So when the rain came down and wet, he formed the man. And after he formed the man, he formed the woman of a rib of the man, right? Now that is Genesis. And God says of his creation that he made, I'm not giving this to you to hold on to this as guidance. This is research. The guidance is the book you have with you, the Quran, although there is guidance in the Bible too. But that is not for us to hold up as guidance. We hold up the Quran as guidance. All right. So God says he made Adam. And God says Adam, pardon me, and God says, and he made them. So this is the second report on the creation. He says, and he made them, and he called them not one person. He called them Adam in the day that he created them. So this is Genesis. So Genesis is clearly telling us Adam is not the creation of one person. that Adam is a prototype in all the people that God made originally. And they had the same nature, the same human design and composition. They are the original human type. And then Muhammad, the prophet, comes after Jesus Christ, pointing to the same truth that the Christian mystified too much to understand. Then here comes Prophet Muhammad again with plain, clear language. And he says, you are the best community. Did you hear it, brothers? I said, you are. I know it says kuntum, but I think I know Arabic better than you. For the Quran, you can say kuntum. It means yesterday, today, and always. Yes, you were in Adam before. Now you are in yourself. Now in the future, you will be that. So this is timeless. This is a timeless creation, a timeless reality. It was in the beginning. It is now, and it will be in the future as it was in the beginning. No change comes over it. It is timeless. Allah created Muhammad anew. And just as God produced the first one in that type, he produces the second one anytime he pleases. So he created Adam and he created Jesus Christ. And he created Muhammad. He created Muhammad, yeah. He did. The Quran says, Ar-Rahman Alim Al-Quran, Talika Insan, the beneficent, merciful God. He taught the Quran to whom? To Muhammad. Talika Insan. He created the human person. Who? Muhammad. Created him anew with a powerful intellect, powerful compassion, powerful quality of character. He infused the word of God in them. He says to the angels, now when I have inspired him of myself, or my own spirit bow down and make sajda to him. So the angels didn't bow to Adam when he was just a human. But when God put his own spirit into Adam, the angels bowed down to him. So the spirit comes with the word. So when Allah put the word from himself into Muhammad, the angels made subject to Muhammad. Praise be to Allah, pardon me. Now, let us put it in our language. What is this Ummah? What is special about this Ummah that God says he evolved? It is not Ummah that is instantly made in a factory someplace or on somebody's desk doing research or something. No. This is the best community, evolved. It has been coming forth for thousands of years, for more than thousands of years, for thousands of generations. It has been coming forth even when the man was nothing but a sperm, before life was even a sperm. But the presence of life was in the earth. It was not a sperm yet. This community was coming, evolving, of nature and nature properties given by the God who made nature. It was evolving. It evolved during the time of the first generation, during the time of the first man who tried to stand up erect and tried to be human and tried to ask his family to be human and wanted his neighbors to be human by each other. Way back then, millions of years ago, it was evolving. And now God has revealed it to you so you can take the responsibility in your own hands and establish this nation, this community life that is inherent, that is evolving with human life over a long period of time. Praise be to Allah. So let us put it in our language when Allah says, that he is creating, making, he said to the angels, in me. He didn't say, let us make man. No, that's in the Quran. That's not in the Quran. This is in the Bible. He said to the angels, in me, surely, I, ja'alun, ala abdi khalifa. Surely I am making a forming upon the earth a khalifa. So that is not an individual person. That is a social order that I am forming upon the earth, a social, all of that will be trusted to human intelligence and human decency. So when God said that, the angels were frightened. They said, what will you create other than something that will cause bloodshed? And God says, I know what you know not. God is the best knower. I know my creation better than you know. You know it. Certainly these human beings, they have limits. They are going to attract the best of them because my word appears to the best that is in my creation. And it is going to draw out the best that is in them. So Satan seemed that he understood that if the angels didn't, and he said, well, none will be spared, but your special one that you choose. That's what Satan said, meaning, I am going to get the masses of them. The majority of them, I'm going to mess them up. I'm going to bring out their weaknesses and show you that this was a mistake. So this is Satan talking to God, talking to his Lord. Oh, Allah is not the Lord of Satan. Well, wasn't Satan a jinn before he rebelled? And aren't the jinn a creation of God? And don't the jinn say to God, my Lord, I speak to you all this way because I have been challenged by some of you. You won't do it, and you won't do it until there is no witnesses around. You make sure that there is no other witnesses around but you, because you don't want to ever have to answer to the believer. So you wait until nobody is around. You have me all by myself. Then you start challenging what I say, what I teach, and try to show me that you know more or better. Yes, I have had that. Look here. I put myself on the same level with you. You can challenge me at any time in the open. You don't have to wait until you get me in secrecy. I am ready to face my shortcomings before all of the people. I'd rather be corrected than to keep going wrong. So please, don't worry about the security. I will say, I invited the brother to do this. Please don't disturb him. Don't bother him. Let's hear him out. Maybe he has something that's better for us. Who knows? I'm making in the earth a Khalifa. Getting back to where I was with this discussion, God says he are making in the earth a Khalifa. Now, an individual ruler is called Khalifa or Khalif. So Khalif, if you say Khalifa, you are speaking of his reign, his rule, not him personally. So God doesn't say, I am making a Khalifa in the earth. He said, I am making a Khalifa in the earth. I am forming a ruler, a government order in the earth that is going to be supported, by human excellence. And it won't work without my own spirit in it. But once I have put into it my spirit, then you make your sujda to it. So that's what he told the angels. So this is the divinely inspired republic, bringing the language to agree with our language. So we don't want to speak our language. We don't have to keep saying Khalifa. So this is a divinely inspired republic. Now, you students, if you don't know the meaning of republic, you should look it up. Republic didn't start with the West. Republic goes way back. And the people came in out of the republic. They came to the concept. It works beautifully with them for a certain time in history. While people, crazy people, people with a different mind, dictators got into power and republic is gone. But in time, the republic comes back, just like human excellence comes back. Now, should we look at the Republican Party? Yes. Look at it again and see how far it is right now from being a reflection of a true republic. So you are talking about a party. I'm talking about a real deal. If you study the Nation of Islam right now, some of them are republics, even though they have a lot of trouble politically in terms of their political ideology. But they present themselves as a republic. Well, I don't know. Some things I hesitate to say to you, because even you who have good intentions, beautiful souls, beautiful people, you have good intentions, but you are holding on to a spider web, and you think that it is what is keeping you from falling. You won't let it go of that spider web. So if I say something that will make you have to let go of the spider web, you will just hold on to the spider web. And you think that spider web is holding you up. You are too big, too heavy. You are human. That spider web is not holding you up. You can let it go. You are not going to fall. So the closest ideology for authority over the people provided for them an ideology or a political ideology to govern their lives as a government order or a political order, the closest to what Allah planned in Scripture before Quran. And in Quran, it is what we find in the language of the founding fathers that this constitution, in this society that we have, and I can prove it, the royal family of Saudi Arabia, they know that they have to make changes. It is slowly coming, and pressure is on them. The pressure is getting stronger and stronger. They know that they are going to have to give up that family rule of the people. This is un-Islamic. I love them too, and I'm still a member of the Supreme Council of Nashid in Saudi Arabia. Just like I love our brother from the Nation of Islam, and I'll be their friend until I die. I'm going to die, their friend. But I'm not pleased with the way their head is situated. Oh, he's talking about Farrakhan. I didn't say his head, their head. I'm not speaking with the way their head is situated. Pardon me. I'm not pleased with the way their head is situated. Oh, their head is Farrakhan. Not necessarily. Farrakhan is here now, and he will be gone like I will be gone. But Farrakhan is afraid to turn them around himself. He is afraid there might be terrible consequences if he tries to turn them around. Then he looks at what he's enjoying, such as life. So the idol society, the way it's supposed to be organized, so that all of the members of it come under the one authority, the one and the same authority, it is far and equally fair by all members. It is favoring one over, it isn't favoring one over the other. It should not favor one race over the other. It should not favor the rich over the poor or poor over the rich. Some of us would like to see the poor put over the rich. Now, I won't do that until the poor gets rich. So we have to get our head together. Allah has blessed us to come through the experience in my understanding and in my knowledge was a divine intervention. Do you hear what I'm saying? A divine intervention to situate us to get where we are now under my leadership. And now the way is open and clear, and the best of the people of the world, they will respect the turn that I made. And the Christians, I met Pope John Paul II, a wonderful man, a great soul. I met him. I didn't know that was possible, but I had to meet him. The desire was in me to meet him. And do you know what my idea was? God was working with me, and I did not even know it. The name of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was heard at the Vatican. My idea was, if the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I could go to Protestant. I couldn't go to the Protestant, to the Baptist convention. But I thought there was a small chance that the Pope would accept me to visit him. I thought it all. The time and when I heard that my friend, Reverend Jesse Jackson, he went there, visited, and had an audience with the Pope. I said, if the Pope received him, he just might receive me. I said, just might, because I am the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I don't have any sheepskin. I don't have anything from them. They can't contact any institution or school of theology, classes or anything. I have not been there. But I said to myself, I believe there is a possibility. So I put a little something out there fishing to see what would happen. And nothing happened for a few years. And finally, Abdul Malik Muhammad, my former partner, he had lived in Washington and Baltimore, and he knew of Cardinal Kilroy. So he said, I think you can get the visit. So he went and he talked to Cardinal Kilroy. Actually, he is the Bishop of Baltimore. He gave me an audience. He told me exactly what I expressed to others. And Abdul Malik was one of them. And he said, I think it can be arranged. And Cardinal Kilroy arranged it. They okayed. So the okay was given for me to go and visit the Vatican. And I visited the Vatican, and I met with the Pope. And I was invited back again and went with top leaders, from around the country in the presence of the Pope. While he sat there, and I delivered a short speech, very carefully worded, and the name of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was heard in the Vatican, in the Pope's ear, and in the ear of those special leaders who had come there from around the world. They're Muslim leaders too, from the Islamic world, yeah. I gave my speech and I sat down, went back to my seat and sat down. I said to myself, if I can get a visit to the Vatican and be in the presence of the Pope, we will be known all over the world. And we will be known in the right picture. Because what I'm going to say in his presence is what I want to be heard all around the world. That we are a new people, a special people. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had more than one feature. He had a feature that you saw and a feature that he revealed or he shared with close friends like my brother, Imam Muhammad from Nashville, Tennessee. He was welcoming in my father's house as a blood brother of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He sat at his table, ate with him, laughed and talked with him. They had good times together, not just minister business. They had human business together. Praise be to Allah. Allah made Muhammad for the whole universe. I said all of this to say this. Don't underestimate your value in the world of human beings, in the world of religious orders, religion. You are like the pagan Arabs who have been converted from shirk or from paganism. And you are not familiar with the Quran. And you are not familiar with the Bible as scripture. You know Christianity. When you were a Christian, you knew it by faith, not by knowledge. Not by logic. So you have to support me. By faith, some of you come and listen to me and say, okay, are you finished, Brother Imam? Yes, I am. I'm finished. Well, that speech was the best talk you ever gave. How do you know? Do you have the knowledge and the insight to give me an A, B, C, or F, or whatever? Give it up, man. Turn back from that and follow me on faith. So when Allah gave Muhammad to the environment, it was in his, not in the stay there, was not, he was not to stay there. Allah made Muhammad for the whole universe, for the world, all people, all nations. But he was immediately placed amongst the Arabs. And when he began speaking to them, they could not understand much, but they knew his character. They knew his truthfulness and his honesty. They knew his high human worth amongst them. They knew all of that. So they followed him based upon what they knew of him as a wonderful, special person of excellence on a higher level than it comes to character. They knew that. But his knowledge, they differed with him, didn't they? That is what caused the problem. He was not in his character. It was in his knowledge that God gave him. When he started to speak, that knowledge, it interrupted their thinking and interrupted their way of life and everything. Then they had a big problem with him. Problem was not with him as a person. And you all, I know you have a little thing to say about me too. I still want to dance. Well, I heard when he was a boy, he used to dance. I still want to dance. But I wasn't a bad dancer. I wasn't trying to take some woman to bed off the dance floor. I knew how to have her there and take her home and not touch her. I was human. I was a teenager and a human teenager. Did I like pretty girls? You bet I did. Did I like to hold them in my arms and dance? You bet I did. But you know, looking back on my life after waking up and getting a higher understanding of what my behavior should be as a creation of God, some of the things that I prayed many times for Allah to forgive me for that, and I just stopped praying after a while. You know, I said, God has given me all of this help with this Quran, all of this help with Muhammad the Prophet. He has given me all of this help, and I am reaching people, and goodness is growing. Why should I ask him to forgive me? He has already forgave me. He did more than forgave me. He forgave me and then showed me mercy. Salakallahu al-Adeem. Surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Ubay. We want to remind you that our beloved Brother Imam Abdul Kabir Shamsuddin passed away, and we are asking Allah, and we are asking you, the listening audience, to make a dua, a prayer. A dua is a small prayer, and we are asking Allah to bless him, forgive him his faults and his sins, and bless him with a high place in paradise. His janazah will be tomorrow, Thursday, at 11 a.m., Smith Funeral Home, 455 North Broad Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey, 07208. May God guide us and have mercy on us. We thank New Africa Excellent Murad Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. Also, our beloved brother, Abdul Kabir, pardon me. Also, we are asking everyone to make dua for our brother, Hadik Muhammad. I pray Allah I'm pronouncing his name correctly. And forgive him his faults and his sins, and grant him paradise also. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise. Marat speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m., inshallah. It only means if it please God. We thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.